morning. Good morning. Glad to be here with you all this morning. Got kind of a later call this time, and I usually like to go expository, you know, verse by verse and those kind of things. And I've been through life here, been going through packing and moving during this heat advisory and everything we've been having going on, and it has been wearing me down. And so I've been past couple times talking about the three W's, and I think the next one would have been to go on the warfare. But you know what happens every time I talk about warfare during my week? And I just prayed about that after I got the call to come this week. And I just really want to preach on some overflow here this morning to you. Just some things that I wanted to share with you. I've came here now a few times and just maybe share a little bit of my personal testimonies with you, all while lifting up God through the process and these things here with you. So that's why when Janelle messaged me this week about the title of the message, I tried to come up with something as cool as I could, but that's what we got. Forgiveness, look out, sharks in the water. So you'll see why I chose that one here a little bit later. My pastor over there, Life Community, I've been going there this whole year, and I'm really enjoying it. He just talked about last week out of Philippians chapter 4, just talking about, you know, some pastors get up there and they got the suits and the ties on and everything, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not putting any of that down, but I'm just saying, like he said, you know, sometimes we try to look like we have it all together. But the Apostle Paul reminded us in Philippians 4 that we're all struggling. That's what makes us Christians, because we can relate to other people that are struggling as well and let them know that, hey, we have a source that is our rock, right, to go back to and to encourage them as well. So I had a dear brother I enjoyed listening to preaching. He said, I might show up like a Philadelphia lawyer, and I might show up dressed in bib overalls. But either way, we're going to have church. And you have to excuse me today. I'm a little out of sorts. I did, you know, have my Bible, but my things that I usually write things down with, I'm going to try just to something a little new. I made all my notes on this thing, if I can keep it on and everything. So Joseph was always loyal, likable, and learning. So I can learn some new things here still too. So that's where we're at this morning. Forgiveness, look out, sharks in the water. Let me open us here in prayer. Father God, we just thank you that we can come into your house and worship you freely without persecution here today. Because there are some countries right now and some people, Christian missionaries, that might be fearful for their life just for owning a Bible and proclaiming your word. And God, so we thank you for the freedoms and liberties that we have in this country. And we don't take that lightly. And even though sometimes we might not have the look of having it all together, Lord, you have us in your hands, and you have laid upon my heart here this morning to share with this group of believers. And I thank you so much for this opportunity. I give you the praise in advance. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm going to be out of Hebrews 12:15. It'll be my springboard scripture, so you can turn there if you would like to join me. And see if I can navigate this here with me real quick. My daughter is really, really good on these things. Have you guys noticed that? They're so young, and they are really good on these things. But I just had a quote that I came across not too long ago, because we are going to go through struggles in life. Amen? And when we go through struggles in life, what is so hard to do sometimes is to remain with that heart posture that Christ wants for us. And it's been said that, you know, when we get to heaven, God is more concerned with our character than he is our comfort. He puts us through times where our comfort is pressed, right? And it's kind of taken away from us, because he wants to change our character, who we are. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to be comfortable right up there forever. But one thing that we are taking with us is our character. And he wants to develop that. He wants us to press forward for those, the prize of the high calling and all those things that he has in prepared for us, those good works to do here to change our comfort. But I came across this quote, and it says, you're not a bad person when you go through times of brokenness. But if you don't heal, you can remain broken or bitter. And there's a correlation that I can't figure out yet. I haven't been able to pinpoint, but there's a correlation between bitterness and forgiveness. And so if we've not went through those times of struggles or different things in our lives, they're coming. And when they come, just know that you don't have to stay broken. If you get to that broken place, God uses those brokenness times in our lives to make us better. And again, that's going to help our character to remain joyful through no matter what circumstance we face. That scripture that everybody quotes on mugs and on t-shirts, everything that it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? Everybody knows that scripture? That's not saying, hey, you know, we can win this football team or this game, you know, or this wrestling meet. You know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What the Apostle Paul was saying with that scripture was this. He said, whether I'm abounded or whether I'm abased, right? Whether I'm prospering or whether I'm losing, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can, no matter the circumstances going in my life, I have learned, he said. Something we have to learn. I have learned. It's not going to steal my joy. It's not going to steal my thunder. God is the same yesterday. And that's why when he was in the prison, he could sing in the midnight hour. No matter his circumstances, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's just the correct way of looking at that piece of scripture for one thing, and while we're going through these struggles in life. And we was able to go through a whole series on the book of Job. And I would love to share so many different things, what I learned about Job there. But one quote that sticks out to me that really guided me through, and I seen this theme the whole time, because we know that Satan had to go ask permission from God to sift Job, to test Job. And this quote said that Job not only, or Satan did not attempt just to make Job suffer. He attempted to make Job sin in his suffering. And that's what he's after to do for you and I. Because even Job's wife said, just curse God and die, right? Satan wanted him to sin in his suffering. We're all going to go through times of struggles and suffering and things. But can we say like the Apostle Paul, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can keep my joy. I can keep my peace. I can keep that lightning grounded because of who God is. That rock in my life. And that's what we need to work on, right? To get to that place in life. So I want to talk to you about forgiveness, because forgiveness is so powerful. There is such a power in forgiveness. Many people said forgiveness is a miracle. Forgiveness is a miracle. And if you don't believe that miracles are still for today, look at Psalm 77:14. God performs miracles among the people to display his power, to display his glory. Look at the sunrise that came up this morning. That's a miracle. Every time a baby takes its first breath, right? It's a miracle. God displays his power among the people. He performs miracles still today. I can tell you so many different things in my life that he's done miraculously. And I hope we can share in those things. But one of the things that I want to point out is, and I want you to write this down or remember this, that forgiveness is a miracle, because it is the power of God in someone. Because how are we ever forgiven? By the blood of Jesus. Amen. And what he did on the cross for us. So that is a miracle. And I just came across this video. I've been following this guy for about a year and a half now. I came across his YouTube feed. I listen to a lot of those while I'm working. And this guy came across, and I was just trying to focus on myself. And this thing said, be this kind of man. I thought, okay, I'm going to be this kind of man. I clicked on there. And when I did, he just had some fascinating details. And I've been listening to some of his stuff for about a year and a half now. His name's Josh. But he just had this quote that just came across last week. It said, if heaven is a place where everyone is forgiven, and hell is a place where nobody is forgiven, then when you ask for forgiveness in your life, it's like you're pulling heaven down into your life. But when you go to that place of unforgiveness, it's like you're pulling hell up into your life. And you see that power of forgiveness. And he said, because Jesus called Satan Beelzebub in the Bible. And what that word Beelzebub means is like flies getting infected in those wounds of a cow or carcass or different things. It's that that infection going on there. And do you guys know the difference between wounds and scars? We got any nurses in here? Yeah? All right. So a wound is what? It's open, right? It's not closed up yet. It can get infected. And that's like when someone says, oh, I just can't talk about that right now. That tells you got a wound in your life, right? But a scar is something that's healed up. And it's, when Jesus came back from his resurrection, he said, hey, look here, boys. Put your finger in my scars, right? In my nail-scarred hands. That became his testimony. And that's something that he can talk about. And so that's the difference between wounds and scars. And so when we think about what he said there, why Jesus called Satan the Beelzebub, because what he likes to do, what the enemy likes to do, is to get into those wounds, things that people don't want to talk about that aren't healed up yet. And he wants to get those infected. And he wants us to not be able to talk about those. And he wants to keep stirring things up and strife and conflict and all these things. And that's why when we can get to forgiveness, that's a miracle. You know, we've overcome that, haven't we? And there were some things going on in my life 3 years ago that I just want to share with you right after I get to this scripture here. Hebrews 12:15. I'm a King James guy, but I just really liked how the ESV worded this. So I'm going to share this to you this morning here from the ESV. It says, see to it, right? See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and therefore defiles many. So the way I've memorized it is, let no root of bitterness spring up among you, or it will defile many. Okay, so let's break that down a little bit. Let no root of bitterness. I want to key in on that one word, root. What is a root? Is that something we can see? Right, that's something that's under the surface, isn't it? And a lot of people, you ask them, they say, are you doing okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine, you know. That's kind of our go-to word. Yeah, I'm fine. You're not upset? No, I'm not upset. I can forgive that person, you know. I'm not mad at that person, right? How many times have we said that? It's okay. It's I'm fine, right? But there's that root that's under the surface that we can't see. And when that's under the surface we can't see, we try to hide it. We try to stuff it. We try to just pretend it's not there. I don't know if there's any correlation or not with this, but I've been cleaning out my basement. And there's things that I found in my basement that I've had from college and high school and childhood, right? And there was things that I've ignored, some maintenance things that I should have been doing, some things that I could have let go, some other things that I've held on to. There's things that I needed to upkeep, things I forgot. There's things like that that was in my basement. And I kind of look at my own life. Is there things in my life that I need to let go and or maybe stop holding on to, or if I'm not, you know, maintenance these things in my life? Because sometimes I do those same things in my life, but we kind of just forget about it, try to push it to the side, pretend it's not there, and different things. But that's how it is with this root of bitterness. It's a root of bitterness. Pastor said one time he had a lady come to his church. And she said, Pastor, I want to counsel with you. I've really been struggling in my life. She said, I have adultery in my heart. And she said, I'm not getting this that I need. I deserve these things in my life. And I just have this adultery in my heart. And the pastor, he said, after hearing you talk, he said, I don't think you have an adultery problem. He said, I think you have a bitterness problem. Because after 20 years of doing marriage counseling and pastoring, he said, what he has noticed was that adultery is always preceded by bitterness. bitterness always precedes adultery. And so there's that root of bitterness in a woman or man's heart that they can't forgive their spouse. And it starts with resentment, and then it grows into bitterness, right? We can't let that go. We hold on to those things. And I know for a lot of guys, we can have an argument and discussion, and 5 minutes later we can shake hands and it's over. But sometimes for certain men, and in this case, you know, certain women, we'd like to hold on to things. We'd like to let those things fester. And it's just like that, what I was talking about earlier, about that the enemy trying to get in there and just trying to stir up strife and conflict. Right, we haven't really totally forgiven this person. There's resentment and there's bitterness. And Hebrews 12:15 says, "Let no root of bitterness spring up among you, or else what? It will defile many. Not only yourself, but others, spouse, children, coworkers, whatever you have in your heart, in your mind, churches. How many churches have been separated and torn apart? Because someone got bitter and didn't want to forgive, right? We've seen it, we've heard it. It happens all the time. Don't let any root of bitterness. So how do we get past that root? I had a dear friend of mine that said, we look at what David did in Psalms 139. He prayed, "Search me, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way among me." All we got to do is cry out to the Lord. "Lord, will you show me what's under the surface that I cannot see?" And he'll show you. Because what are we blinded by sometimes? We're blinded by pride, right? We're blinded by deception. We're blinded by the little g god of this earth, right? That tries to keep us on those things, that blinds us to those things that are in our lives that we need to overcome by. And 3 years ago, in my life, I woke up to just a revelations, and it is said that you didn't so much have a relationship issue as you have a leadership issue. I married the love of my life from the childhood. We had amazing 5 children together, and I'm very proud of all of them. And I thought everything was just good until things wasn't good for a while. And it was just like my basement. There was things that we was holding on to and stuffing and different things. And you wonder, how come Leif is coming here a couple times and he don't have his wife with him, or the children or different things? 3 years ago, I went through something I never even said the word of, and it's called a divorce. This is very hard for me to speak of because it's been a wound in my life for a long time. We never even said the word. But looking back now at what I had to go through, I recently came across a man that that I told, I said, if I just would have went to marriage counseling, I never would have experienced, God is sovereign, I never would have went through the valley so low that he had to get me to wake me up, to keep the blindness off my eyes, right? I never would have seen what he had to take me through, the pain and the depths of all the sorrow and everything that I had to go through. Now, God is good, and you say, why should I listen to you? You're not supposed to be standing up here in these things. Well, when I was a young kid, about 3rd or 4th grade, we had a tent revival come through, and I prayed the prayer to get my get out of hell free card. Or had I prayed that prayer, because it was the first time I ever heard on hell. And then I was told later that I needed to be baptized, and that was my salvation experience. And it said, when you go through stuff in life, that you got to hold on to faith. And I realized when I went through this in my life, I was not only low on the fruits of the Spirit, I was bankrupt on the fruits of the Spirit. I had a lot of religion in my life, and we know religion will not save you. And so December 14th, just a few years ago, I got on my knees and I cried out Ezekiel 36:26. It says, "Replace this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Give me a new heart." And I had this call to preach on my life years ago, but I was so bitter in my heart on the outside, you would think I was fine, right? But inwardly, God sees the intents of our hearts. And I had to come to grips that religion will not save me, and I did not have what I was proclaiming that I had, because I held on to all this bitterness and things in my life and in my heart, and it finally showed up, and it sprung up, and I'm telling you, it defiled many people in my life and my family. And I want you guys to take this thing serious, because forgiveness is so powerful. And now you might look at me and say, well, doesn't that disqualify you? Well, let me just point out something to you. David was a man after God's own hand, right? No, he was a man after God's own heart. But yet he had lust in his eyes, and that committed him to act on adultery. And he committed adultery, and sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you ever want to pay. And then he ended up taking Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. So he committed adultery, he committed murder, and he held on to that, tried to hide and cover that up for an entire year until the prophet came to him, right? And this is a man that wrote the Psalms. And we live in a world right now that just discards everybody, right? We cancel culture. We can block this person, block that person. But who do we go to when we have comfort? When we need comfort in our lives, do we still read the Psalms? That man committed adultery and murder, but we still read the Psalms, because the Bible tells us to comfort one another as you have been comforted. All right? And I got so many cool things to tell you. I had an uncle that wrecked so many cars growing up. Yeah, anybody have a family member like that? He would wreck his car. He'd wreck his girlfriend's car growing up. He would wreck his sister's car. But he wrecked so many cars growing up. But now when we have a problem with our cars, guess who we go to? And I have a cousin that is really great on computers. He was able to download movies before they even came out to the movie theaters. Okay? He was pirating, doing all these crazy things. He crashed so many computers in his life. Guess who I go to when I need help with my computer? Because I could stand up here a long time ago and I could quote God's word, and God's word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But I'm telling you guys, when you go through some of this stuff that I've had to go through, and maybe you guys have gone through some things like this in your life, the power, the conviction that you get, these words mean so much more to you now. And all these things that God has put me through and taken me through, the conviction in my life and the experience that I've had to go through, it's like a puzzle piece that's all coming together. And I'm just here to tell you right now, I wear this ring on my right hand. And I'll tell you more about this a little later. It's not my wedding ring, but it's a ring that she got me, and it's got these little crosses on it. And I do believe, I'm just going to tell you right now, that if these little crosses are strong enough, inside our bodies, there's this little self-adhesion molecule named laminin, L-A-M-A-N-I-N. And it is these little glue that holds all of our structures together. And if you look that up, you'll see a little picture of the cross. That is what is holding our lives together right now, is a little picture of the cross. And we see in the biggest things out there, what holds us together, what brings us that forgiveness, is the cross. And if those are strong enough, I still believe that forgiveness is powerful. And I could see, when I was going through this at first, why wouldn't she forgive me? Why wouldn't, you know, and maybe you've had these things in your life. Why? And you could see all of the problems wrong with that, because you're blinded by your own pride and your own selfish desires and all those things. But what I couldn't see was this giant log in my own eye, right? I, too, was blinded by the pride in my life and the sin that I had, that I couldn't see it within me. And it was like Keith Green singing a song that says, like waking up from the longest dream, how real it seemed until your love broke through. And that love is that love of forgiveness, to knowing that I needed forgiveness in my life. And once I got that forgiveness in my life, guess what I wanted to do? I wanted to offer that to others. and that grace, that same grace that I, the Apostle Paul says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, right? What do children do? Children are impatient, they want it their way, and they keep record of wrongs. I was very childish. I was very childish. But it says, when I became a man, when I put all those things off, right? Because we're not to keep, 1 Corinthians, the love chapter says, keep no record of wrongs, right? We just sing that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It says, lean not to your own understandings, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And I just want to tell you guys, there have been people in my life, God has carried me through this. There is a man that some of you might know named, I was getting mixed up. We always call him Josh, but Matt Hauser. He looks like Josh Gorsuch for some reason. But Matt Hauser, on one of some of the hardest days of my life, I was in Nokomis. I just remember like it was yesterday. He came walking down the alley and said, hey, what are you doing here? Do you need someone to pray with? He was waiting to get his oil changed, and I was loading up some stuff there in the alleyway. And it was like the hardest day of my life, but God has been with me. And there was another time where it was seriously one of the hardest days of my life. And I'm walking in Dollar General and I need to get some stuff. And guess who comes around the corner? Mount Hauser. Hey, brother, I haven't seen you in a while. Can I pray with you? And just here recently, I had the chance to, he prays a little differently than I pray. All right. He says he wanted to speak boldness into my life. And, So I went over there and I got a chance to pray with him, and then God has opened some doors for me to be bold and share some things with some people, and that's what I'm here today. This is all introduction. We're just now starting, okay? Yes. We're going to get to this title here. Look out, sharks in the water. So here's what I've learned. Anytime you see the word forgiveness in the Bible, you're usually going to see the enemy very close. Okay? So for example, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, or else, here comes the enemy, you give the devil a foothold. So what is a foothold? Well, it's like that door not being closed. You put your foot in it and you can't close it. And I was able to talk to my attorney that started bashing the other party. And I said, no, I'm not going to go down those roads. And he looked at me and he said, will you tell me, because you're a man of faith. He says, why would a good God allow such bad things to happen to good people? Because I see it all the time. And I had a he asked me the question. And I had a chance for 5 minutes to tell him about forgiveness and about grace. And he never stopped me, never cut anything off. We talked more about it that day because I did not want to go there than anything else that we talked about. And he looked at me with like deer in the headlights and said, what church do you go to? What he was saying is most other guys would just join right in and bash the other party. But he didn't understand forgiveness. He didn't understand grace. Because he sees these things all the time, right? People that leave their foot in that door and don't want to go to forgiveness. And what happens to a foothold is it becomes a stronghold. A foothold will become a stronghold. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath, or else you give the devil a foothold. And a foothold will become a stronghold in your life. And what a stronghold is this, that replaying, that constantly looping in our minds, right? We can't stop thinking about it. We just continually go back to the past and replaying those things. That's a stronghold in our minds. That's why we are to protect our minds. Right? The battlefield is in your minds a lot of times. We are to put on that helmet of salvation and all those other things to protect from against those strongholds. But don't let the sun go down in wrath, or else you give the devil a foothold. You see the enemy really close, and it's like blood, like sharks in the water. Look out, sharks in the water, right? Because what are we saved by? What are we saved by? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are overcomers. We are saved by grace alone through faith alone, but we are to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, right? We are more than conquerors in Christ, and that is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so we see sharks in the water. What attracts sharks? There's blood in the water. Here comes that enemy, right? And it's that blood of Jesus, that forgiveness that the enemy is so against. He wants to keep people stuck in unforgiveness. And I'm telling you, it is so powerful if we can break free from that. Jesus' blood is forgiveness, and sharks are like the blood in the water. So look out, sharks in the water. Anytime when you get in your life where you say, well, I don't know if I can forgive that person, guess where that's coming from? Guess what you need to be on guard with? Since then, we are to comfort others as we have been comforted. I have counseled so much that I, this might sound weird, but I've counseled so much to where it feels like I was wearing one of those hospital gowns with the butt hanging out. You know, I was just sharing everything I could, trying to get the answers and things. And because I knew where to turn to. And so I ended up going to Grief Share because I knew a friend that lost his spouse, and I invited him to Grief Share. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to invite him, I better go myself. And when I went to Grief Share, I realized about triggers and traumas and all these things that these people are going through. And there was a lot of correlation like that going on in my life, you know. I had all these grand ideas and pictures of what my life was going to look like. And God ruined my life in a good way. He said, I got other things to show you. And when I went through those things, I would never wish that upon it, but just in that struggle in my life, I have learned more in the last 3 years than I did the entire 40 years of my life. And he is faithful, even when we are unfaithful. And I ended up going to a divorce care group in Springfield. And this, tell me if there's not something here. When I went to this thing, we watched a video. And we watched the video, and it says, the first thing you need to do, the first step that you need to do is to get to forgiveness. And once you can get to forgiveness, then maybe you can go to co-parenting, and then maybe get to friendship, and then the ultimate goal is down the road is reconciliation, right? Because our God is a reconciler. He is a healer. He is a forgiver. He is a redeemer, right? I could go on. But there were 6 women in that class, and me and one other guy was kind of outnumbered that night. But you know what all 6 women said? All 6 of them said, oh, I can never forgive him. I could never forgive him for what he did, for what he said. There is a correlation about forgiveness, and it is like sharks in the water, trying to hold on to those things. There is a thing, it's called Japanese pottery, kintsugi. Anyone ever heard of that? They take something beautiful, right? Beautiful pottery, and they break it. And when they break it, they put it back together with gold. Because here's something that was strong, but now it's broken, and then it's inlaid back in with gold. And that gold not only is beautiful, it makes beautiful little pictures and things when it's put back together, but it's stronger when it has that gold around it. And I've told you guys about the way God refines us in the fire and the trials and temptations and things of our lives. It just reminds me of that kintsugi. God puts us back. He has to break us before he can use us again. I've only wrote a couple songs in my life, but one of them was from a quote from A.W. Tozer, God cannot use a man mightily until he has hurt him deeply. God cannot use a man mightily until he has hurt him deeply. And we have this picture in our life of what things are going to look like. And when things get broken, we can stay in brokenness or we can get better. We can stay in bitterness or we can get better. And it's just like that kintsugi. When God puts things back together with gold, it's stronger than before. And I'm just here to declare, God didn't stay. Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. After 3 days, he rose again, right? Some things have to die in order for them to resurrect. And in this case, for him to cover all of our sins, God's ultimate plan was for his son Jesus to die on the cross. And I've been able, I never heard of Standing. Anybody saw the movie Fireproof? Oh man, she wanted me to watch that so many years ago, and I thought, what are you saying? You know, do I got a problem? That's, you know, why are you calling me or whatever? There was so much blindness and things in my life, but after all this happened, I went back and watched that. And then I became involved with the Standing Supernatural Ministry, because we serve a supernatural God, not a natural God, right? Guess what? Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit through a virgin. Virgins don't have babies. It's a supernatural God that we serve, right? He's a supernatural God. And yet there was a declare that was made in order to put Jesus' birth in order, right? There had to be a declaration made that all the people was going to be taxed and all these things in order to usher in Jesus' life. Well, guess what? The state of Illinois has declared my marriage dead, right? There was a declaration. But that doesn't mean that, because I want that he's not able to resurrect dead things, right? It died. It had to die. It was horrible. The things that we were saying and doing to each other sometimes. If we look back when we was dating and stuff, it was like, oh man, I totally forgot how much I loved her. I totally forgot the blessings that God has put on my heart and on my mind. Is everything that I ever wrote down and prayed for. But yet, look what he's done. Look what he's done in my life now. Because he's not so much concerned with our comfort. I prayed that, Lord, just take me out of this, you know. Relieve me from all these troubles and pains and struggles. But instead, he walked through it with me. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, they thought there was three things. That God is going to deliver them from the fire, or that God is going to take them out into eternity through the fire, right? He's basically going to get delivered from the fire, not have to go through it, or they're going to die in the fire and ultimately go into heaven. But what happened? The third option. God walked through them in the fire. And you know, the only thing that was burnt up was the ropes that held them chained, right? And Jesus was with them in the fire. God has been with me in the fire. He's been with you in the fire. He'll go through things with you in the fire. He will hold you up. A lot of times we say when we go through these things, I failed God. Guess what? We can't fail God. I've let him down. You can't let him down, because there's never been a day in your life that you've ever held him up. He holds you up in the palm of his hands. And we've got to get to this place of forgiveness. We've got to get this down. If we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, what does the Bible say? That he will not forgive us if we don't forgive others. I think we sing that in one of the songs here today. If you don't forgive others, then I won't forgive you. I've asked Janelle to put a picture up for me. And this picture really struck a chord with me. I came across it not too long ago. Because anytime you go to unforgiveness, there's going to be times of joy. There's going to be times of weeping and celebration and unforgiveness, of tears of pain and everything else. But God is, sometimes if I just need a calm, I turn on Channel 9 and I watch a little bit of Bob Ross. Anybody? Just those pretty happy little accidents and different things. He just has a calming way. But if we look at creation, God is beautiful. He is an artist. I told you guys about that kintsugi, putting that thing back together with things. We can't see the whole picture right now, walking through struggles and times. But God is putting a puzzle piece together in our lives, and it's beautiful. We look at his creation, and it's beautiful. And sometimes the hard things we go through in life, we think, I can't bear these alone. And thank the Lord that he is with us. He will never leave us nor forsaken us. I could go on and tell you other stories how people have shown up in my life. This lady, I used to think she was crazy because no one else could be this kind and love Jesus so much. But there was days that she left just an apple in the mailbox for me with a sign that says, you are the apple of his eye. It's like God himself carried me through some very hard struggles. And other things that I have done. And just like Hebrews 12:15 says, let no root of bitterness spring up among you, or it will defile many. That forgiveness is so powerful. But sometimes I like Keith Green. He sings a song that says, oh Lord, you're beautiful. And his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They are so much higher. right? But he is painting beautiful things. He takes beauty from ashes. He makes beauty from ashes. Diamonds from dust. And you know how you form a diamond? Under pressure. And the pressure that you go through in life sometimes. And if you look at this picture here, does anybody want to guess what that picture is? A cross? Cross?
F-R-O-S.
Oh, frost. Okay. Frost. Nope. Anybody else want to guess? It is not frost. Would everybody agree that's pretty beautiful picture right there? That is something that we can thank science for. And that is a tear under a microscope in color. That is a tear that you shed under a microscope in color. And what I've learned, there is different kinds of tears. There's tears of joy. There's tears of sorrow. And there's tears of... there's different types of tears. Yeah. And when you look at that, God is painting beautiful things. We go through times of sorrow and we cry and we shed all those tears. Look how beautiful that is to God. And I found this verse in Psalms 56:8. And it says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." God makes beautiful things, and he collects every tear that you've cried. And we think all this pain sometimes is wasted in our lives. It's not wasted. He loves for you to come to him. And I pray that you guys can get tears of forgiveness. Maybe God's put someone on your heart or mind right now that you need to go to. That was our scripture reading for today, wasn't it? About that forgiveness in Colossians. Go to that person. Sometimes we think keeping them in unforgiveness is like putting them in prison. But you know what we're actually doing? We're putting ourselves in prison by not offering that forgiveness and that grace. And we don't need to be stuck in prison. We don't need to be stuck in that unforgiveness. We don't need to be stuck in those traps of the enemy, right, through unforgiveness. I hope I've pointed that out here today, that that's his ultimate goal. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's out to kill, steal, and destroy families right now. He's working overtime, and we've seen the effects, the statistics, the numbers. And right now, 80% of women are the ones filing for these divorces in America. And maybe that's affected you guys' family growing up. Maybe it's affecting your sons, daughters, grandkids, or whatever now. But I'm telling you, Eve was deceived in the garden. But when God came walking in the cool of the day, he went after Adam, the leader. We've got to get men strong and taking responsibility for their actions. Go to forgiveness. Right? We have to demonstrate that in our own lives in front of for others, because we're getting tricked by the enemy of this world. Well, I deserve, right? Or I shouldn't have to. And I, you know, all these things, we are blinded by the enemy of this world. And God says, forgive. Forgive. Look out. There's sharks in the water. He's after any kind of unforgiveness. He wants to take you down. And it seems like to me that forgiveness is the key to stop a lot of that. Let no root of bitterness spring up among you, or it will defile many. Keep that in your heart. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the beautiful things that you do in our lives. Sometimes the most broken paths that we have to take become the most beautiful looking back someday. Lord, I pray that I can encourage anyone with the struggles and things that I've had to endure, that I'm just not standing up here in a three-piece suit pretending and acting like I have it all together. God, when I look at the people in the Bible, the ones that you used, none of them had it all together. Help us, Lord, to put down our pride, our ways of wanting things done our ways, in the way, in the time that we want them done. Help us, Lord, to take the planks out of our own eyes and just be aware that we have an adversary that is wanting to keep those wounds and things just unfestered through unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. But God, your way is higher. And your way, God, is beautiful. It reminds me of the song that says, God will make this trial a blessing, though it brings me to my knees. Though the tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet release. And there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient and you will see. I thank you, Lord, for those people that you put in our lives that help hold us up and to remind us of your word and to give us a prayer. Lord, that person that you put in my life said, Jeremiah 32:27, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? There is nothing that is too hard for you, God. There is no heart that you can't soften. I just thank you, Lord, for putting unforgiveness on my heart and my mind and this opportunity to share with this group of believers. Let your word go out and let the testimonies just ring out those around us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.